I'm of the opinion that, you know, human skills are way more important than, you know, technical skills.
So if somebody's telling me about teamwork, how does teamwork really work? You know, which is making it actionable.
The thoughts, opinions, and ideas expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals participating in the conversation and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints or official stance of Leap Africa. The organization supports diverse perspectives and encourages critical thinking and open dialogue.
All right, good day everyone. So my name is Ferdinand Eruka, and I am the e-learning manager here at Leap Africa. And today we have our first podcast series, just talking about, you know, e-learning in Africa. And I have here with me a very special guest, a very good friend also. He goes by many names. Sometimes he goes by the name Energy God. I mean, when he comes into the room, everybody's always, you know, up and doing. And also call him Chubby also, but I mean, his official name is Chubby K. Nwani, and he's the co-founder of Alula Learning, based here in Nigeria. So Chubby, let's have you.
Hi everybody, my name is Chubby K. Thanks for the introduction.
Why the low energy? I mean, you're more energetic than this. I mean, you don't be saying, oh, you know, reducing my voice.
No. Hi everybody, my name is Chubby K. I think the energy will increase as we talk.
It's always good to start with the low. So yeah, just, you know, I think the good thing here is just to just tell us about yourself. You know, let our audience know you properly. Yeah.
My name is Chubby K. Nwani. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Alula Learning. So now is when I'll talk about Alula Learning. Alula Learning is an education technology platform that allows people come learn cohort-based learning on one platform, build relationships. Also, we offer what we call business solutions to organizations, help them develop content, build fantastic interactive and engaging content. In summary, that's what I'm learning.
Wow, interesting. So yeah, Chubby, so as you know, we wanted to start this off because we know we looked at our, you know, our ecosystem, and we kind of understood that this hasn't happened a lot. I think e-learning is gaining some kind of traction in Africa. It is gaining traction in Africa. I mean, just looking at stuff like e-learning Africa, you know, things happening all around Africa, and we just felt that it was important for us to speak about, you know, where e-learning is in Africa, you know, what it was in the past, what it is in the present, and where it's going to be in the future. So as a professional in the space, I mean, it was interesting to say, okay, let's invite you, you know, let's get your own knowledge, especially what Alula is doing. Just share ideas and see how we can even, you know, influence other upcoming e-learning professionals, organizations who are coming to the African space and seeing that, okay, things are not really going up for them. So just from your experience, I mean, Alula is how old now? So just give us a bit of experience from Alula.
Yeah, interesting. Alula will be 4 October, which is interesting. Time went like so fast. Alula will be 4 in October, which is amazing. You know, saying that now just sounds amazing. And first of all, I want to thank you guys, especially you, for thinking of this initiative. I know one of the things that we always say is, you know, we have to tell our stories ourselves. You know, we don't have to let others tell our own story. And I like that Leap Africa and yourself have decided to do this, and having me as the first guest on the show, I will brag about this. So yes, that's really important. And thank you guys for doing this. E-learning has been awesome so far. Our experience and how we started and how we've gone and how we've grown with Alula has really been interesting. We started as an organization that offers learning solutions, education learning solutions to enterprise, whether it is LMSs, whether it is for hosting assessments, whether it is content development, whether it is content customization, selling off the shelf, consulting. That was how we started us. But over time, a lot of things have changed. The buyers in 2019 are not exactly the buyers anymore. The subject matter in 2019 has like tripled or quadrupled to what we have now in the market. There are new industries that have come out. Since 2019 till date, we've seen like a crypto boom all of a sudden. Now we're talking AI, we've seen the VR, we've seen the AR. Wow. So like in 4 years, a lot of things have happened in 4 years. So for Alula, by the way, I think this is the first time we're talking about like, you know, how we're pivoting and all. So for Alula, we've come across that and we've serviced different markets in the spectrum. Like I said, we started with enterprise. Along the line in 2021, we started servicing SMEs by hosting like little programs for them and helping them develop their own content to scale and to sell personally. I think 2021 as well, we hosted our graduate employability training and wanted to host some other, you know, trainings as well. However, that didn't really work out well for us because, you know, the bone of our bone, which was like our vision in starting Alula, was to make learning relatable, engaging, and fun. And we've seen that there's a huge problem. So along the lines, it has changed and changed and changed. And what Alula is becoming, which I think probably we'll talk about it more on the course of our chart, is now we are saying the buyer has changed and the buyers are now the learners. So now we are going directly to actually service the learners. And we are doing that by bringing a still our core service offering, which is giving them relatable, engaging, and fun content. But then we are doing it on a more intimate and personalized scale by offering them cohort-based courses that are going to be taught by industry experts in their field.
Okay, yeah, so I really interesting stuff you guys are doing. And you know, as you're speaking, you're just dawning on me that a lot of things you guys are doing is because you've seen that there's a growth. You know, there's an advantage to e-learning, and you see that it's growing. I mean, people don't invest in something that they don't see growing. So maybe just generally just talking now, because I mean the today's podcast is around is, you know, speaking about how, you know, African edtech organizations are breaking barriers in Africa, and I think as you're speaking, it's evidence that, you know, something is happening in that space. So now, just aside Alula, I think just generally speaking, do you see, maybe just speaking generally about other organizations, edtech organizations that you've seen so far, which ones have brought your attention to say, okay, you know, these guys have done this, we've seen this happen. And maybe not just in Nigeria alone, I mean in Africa generally. So it's just good to hear your opinion on that.
So like the market has changed. In 2018, the e-learning market was valued at about 700 million. Now the market is valued at over 2.8 billion. That would tell you the growth has been enormous. And that has also brought in so many players, because things have gotten better. I mean, one of the biggest players that we can look at just generally from just looking at is, at that time, I think one of the big people that were trying to do a lot of things and actually solving problems was Tutorial. And, you know, the founders really had a fantastic mission by linking people to lesson teachers nearby, or giving them access to, you know, people that could handle knowledge nearby. And now ULesson came out some couple of years ago, and it's like they came out with a whole brand new type of innovation, and they've taken education by storm. Everybody's trying to partner with ULesson, and it's very interesting to see that not just content wise, even platform wise, with the likes of M Schule or M School coming up, and you know, people are beginning to plug into their own system to create solutions, which is what we've seen in other industries, you know, especially fintech, that, you know, somebody builds and other people just taps and just pays. Yeah. Now we are getting there with edtech. So yes, innovation is happening. Yes, more people are, you know, ready to share knowledge, and the easiest way to do it is by saying, let's go online and share it. I'm even missing one of the biggest, which is YouTube. Yeah. Right? Mm. YouTube has really grown when it comes to learning in Africa, from cooking, which I think is part of e-learning, right?
Yeah, it is.
From cooking to DIY videos to all those things. Now we are seeing creators are getting, we have more creators that do DIY videos. We have more creators that share their learning and all those things. So the e-learning industry in Africa is booming, is growing. It can be more, but it is really, really growing.
So interesting. I agree with you that there is a lot of people are doing a lot of things. So I have this, I know people like to say I'm controversial, but I have this.
You are.
I have this one question that I always like to ask. You know, it's all fun, you know, seeing people, you know, getting grants on this, you know, these people got this. I mean, I don't want to mention names, but the impact for me, or maybe the output, you know, here is to say, with all this happening, have we really seen a shift? Has e-learning really played a major shift in, you know, how people are learning? So let me come in two ways now.
Okay.
I'm of the opinion that technical skills is all nice. It's all nice. I mean, it's all nice to have technical skills, but soft skills are very, very important. And I'm trying to even rephrase it from soft skills. I was speaking to someone a week ago, and you know, he said, you know, they don't longer call it soft skills in their own organization. They call them human skills. Now, I have the opinion that, you know, human skills are way more important than, you know, technical skills. I mean, you can have that, you know, Ivy League degree, you know, even if it's from a digital platform or whatever it is and stuff. But if you do not have those human skills to actually, you know, use these technical skills you have, exactly. I mean, so I want to feel that, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, e-learning organizations, you know, bringing out, you know, digital, get the digital skills, learn how to program. I mean, it's all nice, but I think Africans need to do more e-learning courses or e-learning initiatives that, you know, speak to those human skills.
I totally agree with you. I mean, you don't want to call names, but I'll call your name. You guys are doing something already on that. I'm sure they will advertise that.
I mean, Lamborghini doesn't do advertising. So.
So yes, Leap Africa already does something on that. I think the good thing with the industry is, which I agree with you, is you know, a lot of people within the industry is for business, right? Yeah. So what do people want to learn to grow? What do people want to learn to get to the next level? What do people want to learn, you know, to better the skills that they have now? You know, so those are like some of the things that are shaping the kind of initiatives that we bring out now. What are the problems that are faced, that we have now, and how do we tackle some of those problems? So I think, yes, I agree that human skills and soft skills are very important. However, I think we've gone away from the time where we just say soft skill to, you know, making soft skill actionable. So if somebody is telling me about teamwork, how does teamwork really work? You know, which is making it actionable. And like what you already do with, I think, Lead the Way. I think you have other courses that speak on that. but at least I know Lead the Way. But what that does is that creates actionable courses, that creates actionable content that you can sell on various media and various medium. But I think a lot of the content that we digest now around soft skills are still internationally sourced from either Udemy, Coursera, and the rest of them. We probably will need to do more. However, you know, Africa's problem is very peculiar.
I agree.
We are looking to, first of all, like, solve problems and end salaries before we start thinking of things like that. However, that doesn't, you know, mean it's not important or any of that.
So can we identify like a proper success story from any organization? I mean,
yes.
Maybe just to speak about Leap Africa now. So, you know, we have e-learning courses that we've been able to, you know, churn out. And so just speaking about Lead the Way. So Lead the Way is a, you know, our digital course, this is for our audience anyways. Lead the Way is an e-learning interactive course designed for teenagers. It's gamified to design and designed for teenagers to be able to, you know, understand the learning without having to feel like they actually need to learn. I always like to say this story a lot. So learning experience is very, very important when it comes to e-learning.
Okay.
And most of the things I was able to learn, you know, in my, you know, entire childhood into teenage, I got some of those learnings from playing games. I mean, wow. You play games too. I know that very well. So stuff like World War I, World War II, I played games like, Medal of Honor. I mean, anybody who knows Medal of Honor can, you know, quote me here. And, you know, learning about, you know, Greek mythology. If you play God of War, you know about Greek mythology,
yeah,
by default. I mean, even playing Call of Duty, yes, I'm not violent, but I think I know a lot of guns just playing Call of Duty, how to assemble them and yeah, stuff. So just looking at that and saying, okay, how do we, you know, we brought that into how we design our courses. So we designed those kind of courses for teenagers to be able to learn. So I know that we have success stories. We've seen teenagers take our courses and we've seen them,
yes,
you know, move, you know, change, is a mindset shift, you know,
yeah,
and stuff. So this is just me speaking for Leap Africa. And to just to ask, do you know any other organization
for us to do that? So we 100% yes. With Alula, we've delivered learning interventions that have brought change, very visible change. I will give an example without calling the name of the organization. When we went to consult for them, we saw the courses that they had, and the head of e-learning at that time told us that, you know, people don't take the courses. And so we had to do like a little bit of investigating, and we found out that the courses were pretty ugly.
Wow.
Right. I mean, when I say ugly, I'm sure you understand what I mean.
Definitely.
But it was pretty ugly. Like, it wasn't even up to the standard of a PowerPoint presentation. That was how bad the course was. And I told him something. I said, see, nobody would sit down and want to go through 60 slides of this. It's like torture, right? So we came in good. The course title was pretty interesting. And the first thing we did was we developed a little video, right? We developed a little video. The little video was just like an explainer video to just warm everybody up. And the video talked about, you know, what would happen in the course. The course was about, okay, let me just say what the course was about. I don't think that's giving out too much information. The course was about, you know, security within the organization. You know, as a teller, as a customer care, you know, you have to be very security conscious of different things, digital security and cyber security rather.
Yeah.
And, you know, the video just had a place where we was talking about this guy called DG. He was putting on the t-shirt of the organization, and it gave that feel that Deji is this kind of person. And he was sitting on his computer, and the next thing, Deji left his computer without, you know, shutting down or sleeping the computer. And a customer that went to use the restroom in coming back saw Deji's computer opened. And now, what would the customer do, or what does the customer have to do if the customer is sitting on Deji's chair and the customer is going through things? And we just stopped it there. And we told the guy to just put it on the LMS as like the first part of the course. And the interest it gathered from the people was amazing. The course had several elements that you spoke about in your course as well, because our course also has game elements and, you know, gamification. The course had that, and it was amazing. The guy called me and said 30% of the people took the course in the first week.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Right? 30% first week.
For, you know, Africans.
Yeah, 30%. I was surprised.
For Africans,
I was surprised.
That's a good number.
But then it just goes to tell you about the teaser. Like I said before, we have to understand where the problem really is. And if we understand that, okay, this is where the problem is, although that problem has shifted and changed, you know, based on the needs and based on the times. You know, right now the problem is a little bit different than what it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Thank you for saying that. So, because as you just mentioned problems, I think my next question is going to be around, you know, the challenges edtech organizations face when they're implementing e-learning courses, but we'll come back to that. So we're going to be going on a break right now, and when we come back, we'll be talking about those challenges that edtech organizations are going through and seeing how they are able to, you know, find their way around it. So yeah, we'll be going on a break right now and we'll be back.
Are you tired of feeling like you're not making a difference in your community? Do you want to take action and create a better future for yourself and others? The Leap Africa's Advocacy and Moral Courage courses can help you do just that. Our free advocacy course will guide you on how to participate in critical issues and how you can make a difference. While the e-integrity course on moral courage will equip you with the tools to address corrupt practices within your community. Use coupon code LEAP20 to access e-integrity at a 30% discount. With our courses, you'll gain the skills and knowledge you need to be a force for positive change. Sign up at learn.leapafrica.org and start your journey towards making a difference today.
It's the Youth Day of Service, and it's really in commemoration of the International Youth Day.
The Youth Day of Service is leadership in action. We're all about inspiring, equipping, and empowering a new cadre of African leaders that will transform themselves personally, the community, and the entire Africa.
This is important because we're trying to also just promote and encourage volunteering. Everyone has come out today, some of our partners have come out today to volunteer and support.
Our partnership with the Leap Africa on the Youth Day of Service is key to creating social impact in the lives of communities, in the lives of youth members, in the lives of everyone around us.
People are vibrant, young people are creative, young people are innovative, and so you can't even begin to imagine the kinds of projects that we have seen so far.
Yeah, welcome back from the break. Before the break, we were talking about African edtech organizations and just generally about e-learning in Africa and how edtech organizations in Africa are breaking the barriers with e-learning. E-learning is getting that buzz. I mean, since 2020, we've seen that buzz happen, and a lot of investments into e-learning from organizations globally. Even foreign funders coming into Africa to see how they can utilize e-learning. So before we went on the break, I had mentioned that we'll be talking about the challenges we're having with e-learning in Africa. I mean, how the implementation is going in Africa. I mean, Africa is very unique and we have a very unique audience. So Chubby, let me just say this. I think I've been in this space for, I'm clocking 8 years now, in the e-learning space. And I think the one thing I would say about e-learning in Africa, one of the challenges we have in Africa is that I might be controversial here, but I don't think Africans know what they want. So there are a lot of e-learning courses out there, created from different professionals out there and stuff, but when it comes down to when you look at the data, you find out that some courses are not getting the buzz. As much as the content is rich, those courses are not getting the attraction they need to get. I mean, and that's because the implementation style or the implementation process of creating those courses wasn't factored properly. Africa hasn't really gotten to that point where we have like a central database to say, okay, when I go here, I can infiltrate and get data, I can pay and get proper data. I know we're doing pockets of it. Organizations have started to put these things together. I think a lot of advertising agencies and the likes, marketing.
We have some smaller some startups, not smaller companies, some startups that are working on it as well.
Doing that. Yes. But I have an issue with that, sharing data. we are very stingy with sharing data in Africa. Maybe this is a question for another time, but just now, just really talking about the challenges about, you know, on the implementation side of it. I mean, that did several frameworks, you know, to use when you are trying to create an e-learning course. You know, from we have from the RD model to the Agile, we have the Bloom's taxonomy, we have so many of them. And so just maybe my question to you now is, you know, what are those challenges you've seen when it comes to implementation, and maybe along the line, what are those areas you'll be able to hover, you know, jump to the hurdle of those challenges? Yeah,
I think I will start by answering, you know, you said you made a statement about people are not taking e-learning courses, and that's true. However, I think we have to go back to understand, you know, what the analysis went in designing those e-learning courses. Like so many solutions we've seen so far, so many people just think up a problem for themselves and think up a way to solve the problem for themselves and just put the problem and just put the solution out there or put the intervention out there, and they expect the people that have the problem to just pick it up. And, you know, when it doesn't happen, you know, they start fighting the people, you know, without properly, you know, carrying the people along or asking the people how best to solve their problem. Like we said, I think in the first half of the segment, M-Shola is solving a problem. The people they are solving this problem for is direct, and they understood. 80%, when they started, 80% of people in Kenya at that time didn't have access to internet devices. But then learning had to go on. Good thing they still had Java phones, right? They had like regular cell phones, rather, not Java phones. They had like regular cell phones. So, and they thought of, you know, if learning has to happen, it has to happen via the means that they had, which was SMS. Now, imagine if you go in that context and you create a very beautiful learning management system, gamified courses, and all that. I mean, you would be frustrated because the amount of people that can even use your products are very, very few. And we've seen this happen across board, not just in e-learning. I know we are focused on e-learning, but we've seen this happen across board with edtech, with health tech, and other businesses that use technology to solve their problems as well. So to answer your question, I think one of the things that should happen more is people need to talk to more people that need these solutions and know how best to reach them and what they actually need. In going into the implementation phase, talks more on what do people need. You are correct by saying that, you know, we don't have a lot of data. We don't have a lot of access to some intrinsic data. However, with some of the data we have, we can use it to work to a good extent. For instance, I know what Leap Africa is doing with a lot of their programs. They really go in depth to do the research, to do the monitoring, to do the evaluating, to do everything that has to do with the program. I think that same level of commitment and that same level has to go into creating solutions. If you do not properly understand the pain of those that you need, those having that problem, it's difficult to solve it. And in properly understanding it, because you might not feel the pain, you know, directly, you have to talk to other people that have the pain. So I would say the first thing is, let's go out there and talk with people that have problems. That's one. Then we can better understand how best to now implement the solutions to their problems.
So thank you, Chubby, for that. I think what you are saying in essence here is people need to do more. We need to focus a lot more on the needs assessment and needs analysis.
Exactly.
I think that stage is one of the most important stage. So there's a challenge to this, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to bring this. So we here at Leap Africa, where we had a program many years ago. I think the program stopped as far back as 2018, School to Work. So when Leap Africa turned 20 last year, so when we were looking at, you know,
everyone, another congratulations to Leap Africa.
Yeah, you guys, thank you. 20 years in Nigeria and still running. It's not. I mean, we know. It's not beans. I mean, yeah. It's not beans. Yeah. And for our foreign audience, when you say something is not biz, it means that
Chubby wants it's to not that, easy. Yeah, it means it's not easy.
Yeah, Chuku being is not easy. I mean, it takes a while. So what I'm just trying to say here is so we had a program called School to Work, to just, you know, setting people who had finished, you know, your university level to be able to be what's the word now?
Employable.
And that program stopped. I mean, we shifted goals, setting other things, and we looked at it and said we wanted to revive it, we wanted to bring it back. And before we were going to do that, we had like several courses, you know, how to write a CV and stuff and different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, we don't want to just waste resources and just build these courses. I mean, those courses were important then.
Yes, definitely.
And so what we did was to say, okay, let's know what has changed. Let's know what people are looking at out for now. What are people? What's the need right now? And when we threw out the survey, and that survey came back, and we found out that business networking was the most voted course to revive. And we're like, okay, this is interesting. So let's see how we can bring this back. But because we understand that we are, Leap Africa is we prioritize, you know. Human skills, like I had mentioned in the first section, you know, human skills are very, very important. We're not the ogres when it comes to, you know, this business networking. So what we did was, okay, we need to leverage, you know, a subject matter expert in this area. And so we reached out to an organization called Innovation, and, you know, they are the key. They are very good at, you know, creating courses like this. So we're doing a co-creation with them.
Awesome.
And you know, we've sent out the survey. I mean, it's ongoing. I'm on the way right now, and very interesting things are coming back from the survey. We're seeing very, very interesting things. But see, I have, as much as I'm part of this project, you know, I'm there. But there's something about these, you know, assessments and these analyses, and when you drop surveys like this, especially in an economy that things change.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you sleep and you wake up, something has changed in the economy. And these things kind of affect that survey. So you are creating something at a you're creating something at a particular period. You know, you're in, okay, this is going to work and all that. I know that we give room for changes. But what happens when, you know, something major? I mean, right now we're in Nigeria right now, and you know, the fuel subsidy was removed. PMS went up and stuff. That's gone up twice now, and you know, it has changed even the way you know, people are working. And I think this is happening globally nationwide. We now see less cars on the road. I mean, I was driving to over here for the recording today, and I was surprised on a Friday morning. I left, and this is Lagos. I mean, if you stay in Lagos, you understand what I'm saying. I left my house as early, I won't call it early, that's late.
Yeah, I mean, Lagos late.
Yeah, Lagos late is 6:15. I'm on the road, leaving my house at 6:15.
Lagos late.
And I didn't spend up to 40 minutes on the road.
Wow.
Down here, and I was surprised. And at the same time, I wasn't surprised. But, you know, this subsidy has changed, you know, many things. And it has also changed e-learning. So our needs assessments might start to look outdated, because we don't know what has changed. You don't know how it has changed individuals personally. That's why I said it's a challenge.
I think I will speak to that, because personally we've had challenges like that as well. Like I said, when we started service in enterprise, and it was hilarious how it happened in 2020. I'm just going to give you a little story about 2020. So in 2020, it was supposed to be a boom, because there was a boom globally, you know, in e-learning. However, we started realizing that in so many Nigerian organizations that you are supposed to see like a boom in need, because we reached out to a couple of big organizations, and we're already talking with some of them before COVID or pre-COVID. And, you know, they were dragging their feet. They were even giving us, you know, a little bit of, okay. But we realized COVID hit, and then it was like they shut the door on us. And the first thing that usually goes aflame most of the time in organization or enterprise is learning.
Yeah.
Right. So while other places and other people and other economies were seeing a boom in e-learning, we saw a decrease in adoption in e-learning in Nigeria. However, in e-learning that we type of offer, we saw a decrease in our type of e-learning. And people started going to, other options like Zoom, Google Meet, and the rest of them. So, that brought about a couple of changes for us because, we had to start saying, how do we position ourselves to still service the market? I mean, we don't own Zoom. We can't get a license at that time. But how do we position ourselves to still service the market? So, you might plan and get needs, but then it changes. To speak on school to work and to speak on, how that has changed, we're working on something, something similar. Allow me to just plug this in, called Career Paddy. And it was from almost the same thing. We just realized that the needs for graduates 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago has changed from what they need now. In the past, what you do for graduates is to host like an employability training.
Yeah.
And they are good to enter into the job list. But with data and with what we've seen is that employability is now number two. Employability, I mean 53% said it was employability that made them, that the graduates were unemployable. However, 69%, and this will shock many of you, 69% said they didn't understand the job role. So there's a problem with job clarity, right? And that made us start thinking of how do we solve this problem with job clarity? And then we Kokoma, shout out to you. Kokoma came up with Career Paddy, which was a platform that just allows, fresh graduates, young graduates, and undergrad meet with professionals and have career discussions. So we're saying this to say that we have to keep tracking the problem. I'm sure we'll still talk about certain things that are hampering e-learning within the economy, and I'm just going to go ahead of myself and say some of them, right? And one of them is the fact that there is an unstable political ground right now. We don't know what can happen next. There is no stability when it comes to policies. The policies are not exactly as stable. So something as little as the increase in fuel prices can cause a very huge change.
Oh, yes, you can.
Because now we are seeing that enterprises are delaying in payments. Enterprises are saying, you guys, hold on a little bit. Enterprises are now saying, we'll pay you guys way more. So if they gave you due dates for after delivery, 10 days, we'll pay you 10 days after delivery. Now enterprises are saying, we'll pay you 25 days after delivery. So these little things make these big differences. I mean, imagine for an SME receiving payments in 10 days and receiving payments in 25 days. 15 days is a lot. Is a lot to add up. So these little things actually cause that holdback when it comes to enterprises like this. However, I think I'm a business person. Wherever we see problems, we see solutions. So I think as these problems persist, I'm sure we have brilliant thinkers that would come up with solutions to always combat them. Yes.
Now, have we considered that we have stereotyped that people at this age would like to learn this way? And hear me out now. Imagine you have that kind of courses. Okay, these are CEOs and MDs and all that. But in the midst of that group, you have a guy that is 22, but he has already gotten to that level. He has gotten an MD level and CEO level. I mean, I there's someone I know that when they told me his age, I didn't believe that was his age. Like, I'm like 6-7 years older than this guy. But when I speak with him, he sounds, like my age, and sometimes he even sounds even way older than me. But he grew up in an environment where he was privy to get some of this knowledge quick and stuff. Imagine that kind of guy saying, okay, I want to take this level of course. Then you now give him a learning style that doesn't even fit. Because yeah, he has a personality. You must understand that he has a personality. And I think we do that a lot in Africa. We age, we make things based on a particular age. You know, you say, okay, Agbada is not meant for you. Agbada is meant for this kind of age.
Yeah.
I mean, you can wear the Agbada and they'll be like, okay,
it doesn't really fit you.
Then we also do it with size also. I am not like if I wear Agbada, what's the, but if I have that chubby tummy and those wear the Agbada,
like me.
Exactly. They're like, you know, welcome and all that. But you know, it's a challenge in Africa. Africa, where we need to break some of the biases we already have, you know, the mindset we already have in regards to that. And I think it's already happening now, because sometimes it's tailored to generations, the kind of generation. You know, you have the millennials, baby boomers, and then you have the Gen Z's. That's another topic for another time.
I like Gen Z's, to be honest. I love Gen Z's.
They're unique. I went for this GT Bank food and drinks and stuff. You know, just wanted to enjoy the area, and I saw this guy, you know, he had dreads on and all that. But this is the unique thing. He wore like a pink robe. I mean, you know what I mean by a robe.
Yeah.
Like, you know the robe you wear at home, or you go to like a hotel and just like this kind of robe. And it was not long ago. It was short. It was not pink. He now had hairy legs and all that. Yeah. And I was just staring at the guy.
I think that's the reason why I like him the most. It's like the freedom.
How do I teach that kind of guy e-learning? I'm just saying. Like, have we considered that? How do I teach that kind of guy e-learning?
I think, you know, piggybacking on everything you've said is like very valid, and I think there's an Africanness to it, right, which we can take away. There is definitely a cultural undertone to many of those things, but more important than any other thing should be, how do we feel these people want to learn? It goes back to the needs analysis that we're talking about and actually questioning the learners. I think you ask them. I'll give you an example. Again, because we work with a lot of financial institutions. So we're working with a bank, and you know, we thought that the people that were there that would take this course, we did the analysis, got personas and things like that, and we got like an age range, and most of them were supposed to be like from 23 to about 35, who we felt like we're going to take this course. So we felt, you know, let's put some interesting elements to these things. These are people that are already like tech savvy, they use phones, they play games, so they would enjoy the use of games and the product. And we designed the product with you know, game elements and things like that. It didn't go well for us.
Wow.
You know, it didn't go well for us. The feedback we got was, you know what, just make this a little bit plain. Just make this pretty simple. Just make this easy, colorful, and nice. Make it gradual. Make it smooth. You know, we don't want a lot of this. Click on this. Click on this. We don't want that. We don't want checkout 360. We don't want drop the slider. Nah, we don't want that. Our people don't really like that. And we have to understand that it doesn't mean if we apply that into another thing, it doesn't work.
Okay.
It's because when I'm learning, because I have to also understand in what environment do they learn? Do I want to spend a lot of time on those things while I learn? Or do I just want to really take the course that is pretty relatable? They enjoy the scenarios, by the way. They enjoy the other things we put in the course. They enjoy the videos. But the other elements, they didn't really fancy it. They're like, you know, guy, why am I clicking on slider? Why am I dragging the slider? You know, let's just come one after the other and let me see it all at once and let me write what I want to write.
So I have a question, you know, just a follow-up question on that.
Okay.
So my question would be, I understand, you know, gamify the course really nice and stuff. Like I mentioned earlier, I said Africans are unique.
Yeah.
Africans are unique. So my question to ask you is this. So when you created a course, what time of the year was that course deployed?
Wow.
That's one. That's one.
Can I even remember that?
Yeah. What time of the year was that course deployed? And can you remember any major events that was happening around that time? These things are very, very important.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that these things are important. But then, you know, you have to understand that our job is our job.
Yeah, so your job doesn't end at, like,
yes,
I said,
it doesn't always end at
oh, we created a course and all that.
I mean,
that.
We have to get feedback.
Your job comes with also
follow through,
joins as
follow
a
ups.
Consultant.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm developing a course for, you know, a particular, you know, organization, I always tell you that this is the best time you should do. I mean, if for that kind of course, why not I throw it in December?
So
you know, watch it.
So I mean, I don't think it's the time. You know the way organizations deploy courses, especially for financial organizations, they have like over 2,000 staff. Many of them might not take the course in the first month or the first 2 months. So the feedback you are going to get are probably from people that either rushed it because of appraisal or things around those things.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of undertone to those things. But, you know, I say this to say that we've deployed game-based courses for other organizations and it's been successful. It's been successful in the sense that they gave us a very good feedback for almost the same target group, right? However, I think there are things that you know, add and subtract from these things. One of those things that do this thing is, what subject are you actually even taking? What subject are you taking? Does the subject require that much, you know, beautification or gamification or any of those things? So I think, yes, as an organization, we've deployed those things. We've checked around. We've done different models to find out. And what works for A really might not work for B.
So honestly, I agree with you, and so like just you know, putting a cap to that. So like for us in Leap Africa, I mean, we have that Lead the Way course, and we open it up during the summer period.
I like that course, by the way, because I've taken it before.
Yeah, deliberate. I mean, you know, I'm there now. Like, you expect it now. You expect it. I like excellence, so
yes.
I like doing things well. Like it's not how. I don't like my I'm not of the opinion of just doing an e-learning product, check the box kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm deploying a course to an organization, oh, they want to do it by this time, I would tell them, I don't think this is the right time to let them have access to it.
Mm.
And don't make them take a course just for them to check it. I mean, you're talking about appraisal now. You know, HR will just say, if you're not taking this course, blah blah blah, and all that. We had something like that. We had a course we did on teacher transformation. You know, teacher leadership, and you know, we're trying to see you know, train the trainer kind of course.
Okay.
You know, teachers also need
training,
human skills.
Exactly.
I mean,
so
all these guys
have
left, you know, the educational background a long time ago. You know, teaching styles and so on. We've seen that a lot of times, and we deployed, you know, these courses to teachers. And initially, it started up slow, and you know, when we reached out to the school authority and said, "Ah, these people are not taking our course," and all that, I don't know what the school authority told them, but on a standard, you know, self-paced, you know, when we create courses, I'll tell you that a standard person should take this course within, you should finish this course within 2 hours, 1 hour, 45 mm-hmm. minutes, all these kind of things. I don't know how these guys did it, but we had close to 8% of them finish the course within 2-3 days.
Wow.
Like it was quick. And we were like, how was this done? What was said and all that? I mean, I was worried. I mean, I was worried because I want you to be able to take the course and I want you to be able to see that, okay, it has, you know.
Yeah, there's
you
an know, impact.
It has an impact and stuff. So maybe just moving to my like last question, you know, just going to my last question for this session is to say, what are the collaborative opportunities out there? I think that Africa needs to come away from, I'm the first person to do this kind of, you know, I'm the first, I want to be pioneer. Because, I mean, there's, you know, this a lot of foreign organizations are now coming into Africa. Africa is like, what's the word now? Like, everybody's trying to make off money from Africa. You know, there's potential in Africa.
There's huge potential.
Yeah, and so it creates a room, this competitive room to say, oh, let me be one to secure this grant. I mean, MasterCard is coming to Africa. MasterCard is funding a lot of things. MasterCard Foundation, rather, is funding a lot of things in a lot of organizations in Africa and stuff, especially tailoring into, you know, the learning, L&D and all that. So what's that collaboration opportunity that is there? What do we need to say, you know, to our e-learning, edtech organizations to say, guys, it's not a competition. Like, we need to get Africa there. We need to all put hands together to get us there. So what's that opportunity you're seeing? You know, I have my opinion, but it's good to hear from you.
I would say, firstly, healthy competition is good. It keeps the industry thriving, and you know, brings more innovation to the industry. But in terms of collaboration, I think collaboration is very important. There are different aspects of e-learning, you know, from platform development to content to aggregators to technology, to even people that either sell or consult. I think everybody just needs to work together for the goal. You said something. We don't really offer, you know, as Alula, when we were running as Alula, most of our off-the-shelf were majorly human skills. And for other skills or other types of content in different other aspects that we needed, we had to contact, you know, subject matter experts for those ones. Presently in Alula, creating our cohort-based courses, the only instructors that take our cohort-based courses are top leaders in the industry, people with quality experience that are authoritative in the subject. Same thing should happen across board. I think it's something we've seen too many times in the past, where somebody that does something now relating to learning, maybe based on funding or based on the money coming into the space, and they just decide to do it all of a sudden overnight. But then again, I think people should just work together. Even if they want to even bring the solution to the market or bring their own solution to the market, I think proper consulting, proper collaboration, proper working together, proper hand-holding, you know, with everybody is important to drive the vision. The vision is, Africa has so much potential, like you said, and Africans are so innovative, like super innovative. Come up with different solutions to tackle problems that, you know, people see and people are like, wow. So these are some of the things, but we need to actually work together. The person that is working very well with content might not have the best platform. Can we work together to, you know, can the person with the platform work together with the person with the knowledge? You know, can they work together to make the solution readily available for people to take it online and probably share profit or whatever kind of model they have? Which is my take on it. I don't feel one person has to do everything. One person doesn't have to do content, platform, and so on and so forth. I don't feel one person has to do everything. I think that's why, in America, I think e-learning brothers, if I'm not mistaken, just keeps acquiring a lot of them and letting them run independently. Yeah. So, you know, it's either you acquire them and let them run independently, or you just collaborate with them on a very easy surface level.
Honestly, I agree with you, because there's a lot of potential in collaboration. I mean, you can attest to this. I mean, where Leap Africa is already trying to do a collaboration, or we have sealed a collaboration with Alula and
we
have 8Gear, we have corporate instructional design mastery, we have OLXD. You know, and you know, we're all coming together to say, okay, there is a gap, you know, when it comes to e-learning, you know, the content creators for e-learning.
Exactly.
We don't speak well enough about them. I mean, L&D is spoken about, but what of the guys who are actually creating this content? And I don't see that we've not had enough people there. I mean, Leap Africa is joining that collaboration to train e-learning, you know, you know, new designers. We are all for the people. I mean, you guys are for profit, but we are for we are building communities and stuff. So we are training, we're training people. And that book camp is starting next week, 1st of August, and very interesting time. We want to see how we can, you know, and we're still looking forward to seeing how we can collaborate with more people.
Yes.
I mean, if you had ever attended the e-learning Africa conference and exhibition, they had the 16th one this year. It has never happened in Nigeria, but interesting stuff, you know, they come up with, you know, you have a lot of people in e-learning space,
yes,
from platform to tools to frameworks,
yes,
to and stuff like that. You know, a lot of conversations have been happening, and when I'm really stressing on, you know, on collaboration here, is because we have guys who are now you know, there's AI for e-learning right now.
Yeah,
that's an hard discussion. if I talk about AI for e-learning, we will not end this session.
Let's not talk about AI.
I can keep on going for that, but you know, it's really, really important that, you know, especially for, you know, edtech organizations out there, to see that there is more growth when you
collaborate.
I mean, I'm looking for an organization that can. Maybe this is just speaking about learning styles now. An organization that can come and say, okay, we want to design a course with Leap Africa, but the course will come out in Pidgin.
Yeah, I mean,
why are we not seeing that?
We have some people that do that already.
Why are we not seeing that?
I'm going to just give them free publicity, which is Pidgin. Learn Africa courses with Pidgin. Yeah, Learn Africa does, and again, you know, you have to. Learn Africa does things like that where they. Not just courses, they also even go into explaining product use, you know, which is learning to the users of products. So if you want your products, if you want to explain your products, you can do that with Learn Africa. So these are some of the other innovations. Like, and just to piggyback on what you said, why would I teach business skills using Pidgin?
I mean, you. Not everybody has the opportunity to
speak English and learn English, right?
But nothing necessarily. I mean, let us.
But they need the skills.
Let's use Aba as an example.
Okay.
Things are happening in Aba. I mean, Aba was used as a case study in Ivy League schools, Harvard Business. We're talking about that entrepreneurship apprentice system. But I mean, if you've been to Aba, I've been to Aba. I've gone to that market. I did Carnival, Calabar Carnival many years ago. I used to go and buy materials and stuff. And, you know, their bosses don't speak English. So these guys are speaking Igbo or they're speaking Pidgin because you have diverse apprentices. Maybe this guy is a Yoruba guy. He doesn't need to speak Igbo to him, but, you know, speak Pidgin. Why can't you speak Pidgin? I was telling my team members to say, why don't you create a course with Lai Wasabi? I mean, I'm enjoying him.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with doing that? I mean, Pidgin is now a global language.
Right.
We have Bonaboy. You see white guys, foreigners are always trying to speak Pidgin and, you know, they're trying to get in there and all that. What is wrong with us just saying, I have a course on programming, but it's taught in Pidgin. You don't have to, for the guys who is in Makoko that cannot learn all that English that you guys are, all that big language, using big terms for him, he doesn't understand.
This is amazing.
Honestly, why are we not seeing someone coming up and say, I can do this for you? So we need to take away the...
And they probably will do it for themselves.
I know that you're against me on this, but in terms of business for profit, people would always put that, how much do I have to make first? Before even saying, why not get my product out there first? You know, why don't I get my product out there? I know that you watch animes. I feel that you know more Japanese history.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I mean, I just watch Jujutsu Kaisen.
Let's not talk about that.
I don't want to say that, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But I mean, you know what I'm saying. You know where I'm heading at here.
Yes.
And I was really happy when I saw the Kizazo one by Disney, you know, brought in all the different African animators. And you know, they did that same kind of style that they did for Star Wars Visions, you know, different animation styles and stuff. Really interesting. When I was in episode 3, that was the one that had the Nigerian this thing talked about, you know, Benin and, you know, Yoruba, and I was like, this is This is good. But you see, that's another medium for e-learning, you know, teaching people about history and stuff. What can we get that kind of collaboration? We need to be able to, Africans need to come together and say, okay,
let's build something. Something like that.
For us, ourselves. Yeah. I mean, Wakanda made a huge impact.
Right.
We just need proper investment and proper people to just come together. We have the brains.
Mm-hmm.
Africa still is very, very rich.
Yeah, I think, you know, speaking to your audience, because I know, you know, Leap Africa has a lot of, you know, investors and access to these people. And I think these are, you know, part of what I think you should do as an ecosystem builder.
Yeah.
Is also see how much you can bring, because, I mean, without money, nothing really happens. You know, we can't produce, we can't market, we can't sell. So I think also Leap Africa has to do some work in bringing in some level of funding for that to actually happen. I know you've done something like that with MasterCard Foundation to a good level. But then, I mean, we need more for us and other people that do things around these things that you've spoken about. And yeah. I think if you have the fund, or if you get the fund, you know, the brains will come out.
I mean, funding has never really been the problem when it comes to products. I mean, people would fund what they see would work.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if you really put in things together to say, okay, we've thought this through, we've looked at it.
Okay.
We're not even just doing it alone. We have these guys here. We have these guys. These are experts here, experts here. I mean, I always front a lot of organizations when I say, do you have an M&E, you know, department? Because that's one department that people don't really value. That department gives you your next step, stuff. But we can keep on going. But, I mean, we have...
A limited time.
I mean, me and you sitting in one room is... That's like, I don't know. What was the reference? What's the reference I'll use?
I want to use
an anime reference.
There is none. Let's
Sasuke and Naruto. But yeah. So thank you everyone for joining us on this session. We have, you know, we've had a lot of things to talk about here. There's still a lot to even talk about more.
Yeah.
So I want you guys to look out for more of our episodes. We have interesting guests going to be joining us in our next episodes. I mean, we can keep on going, but you know, let's have other people speak about areas that we'll not be able to cover. And till next time, see you guys.